right, good morning. Let's continue through Genesis, Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old and do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and then I will be a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. And then he came to his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you," and brought it to him and he ate. He also brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you, be masters of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." When Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he that hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him?" "Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me, alas, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and was taking away your blessing." Then he said, "Is it not rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times? He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" But Isaac replied to Esau, "Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as far as you then, what can I do, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brothers you shall serve, but it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck." So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him, and Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob." Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee to Haran to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes his wife from the daughters of Heth, like these from daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word, and God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to give us revelation of the many things that that you are speaking to us through this passage and through this morning. And so, Lord, we just want to bless your name. We thank you for this great morning, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So there's a lot of themes going on in this one chapter. It's a very well-known story, and it's part of an incredible drama that's happening, and we are beginning to see the dysfunction of this family. I mean, you notice how the family's not together. They're not on the same page. They're doing things separately. There's favoritism going on and things like that. And yet, as I've mentioned before, the theme from Genesis all the way through to this point, the theme is that God is still faithful to complete the promise no matter what obstacle, no matter what problems, no matter what dysfunctions are happening in your family, no matter what dysfunction is happening in your soul, no matter what dysfunctions are happening in your life, God still is in control and still has a plan to fulfill his will upon our lives. And if you take a step back and you look at our own personal journey as we're trying to navigate, God, you know, is this a good decision? Is that a bad decision? Should I do this? Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I choose this job? Should I choose that job? And we may feel like we're making mistakes along the way. And they may be mistakes along the way. And there might be incredible dysfunction. And you may ask, God, how is your will going to be fulfilled through my mistakes? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship mistake. Maybe it's a job mistake. Maybe it's a family mistake, whatever. But the point is, God is not going to be thrown off from fulfilling his plans. And so here we see this dysfunction and this deceit and this sin. And so the first thing that we see is this blessing. I think in our Western world or even modern day, we don't have this concept. We don't understand fully this concept of blessing, because this blessing isn't just an approval. It's more than that. It's a covenant. It's a generation to generation. In our concept, modern day concept, we think of a blessing as approval. So for example, when we get married, some of us, we ask for the blessing of the bride's parents, which I did. You know, I tried and I was very nervous about, you know, and so I had language difficulties with my wife's parents. And so I'm like, how am I going to ask for this blessing, you know, to marry their daughter? And long story short, I just in the best broken Korean and English, and you know, I tried to ask for the blessing, and they said yes, you know, they approved and things, and so that was great. We got married and things like that. But the concept of blessing in our modern time is this idea of, oh, you know, father-in-law, I want your blessing for this marriage, and they give it to us, and so it's yes, we approve. You may go ahead and do it. You know, maybe if we want to bless our children, you know, we'll go to their sporting events or their recitals or their school plays and things. And it's like, yeah, you know, I want to bless my children by, you know, attending these things. And so it's like, yeah, you know, we bless our children. But blessing here in Jacob and Esau's time is way more intense, way more deeper than just approval. And so here we have this blessing, which is a delegation of future leadership of the family and authority. And it usually goes to the oldest son, which it means it's supposed to go to Esau. And so the oldest son would be assuming the leadership responsibilities. And therefore, because he was responsible for the family, he would get a double portion of the inheritance. And so there's prosperity involved. And so it's bestowing upon the oldest son a very important event. And so it was taken very seriously, this patriarchal blessing. And it was considered binding. it wasn't just words, it was binding. And so you'll see at the end of the chapter, Esau's weeping and bitterly, the Bible describes. And at first glance, you might say, wow, you know, this is such a dramatic boy, you know, such a dramatic guy. Why is he just crying over some prayer that his dad gave to his younger brother? What's the big deal? But this blessing back in those days, oral contracts, oral covenants, they were binding. You know, they didn't have the legal system of documents and paper and you know, storage and vaults and, you know, files and things like that. Basically, it was done verbally, orally. And so this is a binding sort of blessing and covenant and decision that, you know, I gave my blessing to Jacob, your younger brother. And so I'm sorry that's it's done. It's finished. And so now Jacob takes over the identity of Esau. And this is probably the first known recorded incidents of identity theft back in the day. And so here we have Jacob stealing the identity of Esau. And if I could just maybe go on a little aside and talk about this identity theft. If you think about it, the enemy, the devil, this is in fact what he tries to do with us. He tries to steal our identity in Christ. He tries to steal that. And as he steals our identity, what it means is that we lose the blessing, or we get robbed of the blessing. You see, Jacob stole the identity of Esau, and he stole the blessing that his father gave that was supposed to go to Esau. He stole it. He stole his identity, and he stole his blessing. And so the devil, in the same way, will try to steal our identity, and then he'll steal the blessing that God has from us, because we are not sure of our identity, or we don't have the identity that God has given us. Let me illustrate it this way. Moses, God has a clear identity. God has a clear calling. God has a clear purpose for Moses. He says to Moses, I want you to lead my people into the promised land, out of Egypt and into the promised land. Very clear. But what does Moses say? What is Moses' identity? His thoughts of his identity is like, no, I can't do that. I have a speech impediment. I'm not qualified. I'm not adequate. I'm not who you say that I am. I am not a leader of these people. See, God has an identity for Moses, and Moses is not clear of what his identity, or he refused to take it at first. Now imagine if the enemy robbed Moses of who his true identity in Christ or his calling was. What would have happened? Another example is Gideon. Same thing. Angel of the Lord says, you know, you are a mighty warrior. I want you to fight and lead these people. You're mighty. And what is Gideon's response, or what is Gideon's idea of who his identity? He says, no, I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm not that at all. I'm the least of the least of the least. You know, I'm the least of my family. My family's the least of our clans. Our clan is the least of our, you know, of our nation. I'm the least. No, I'm not a mighty warrior. And here God is trying to give him his identity and say, look, you are a mighty warrior. And his identity is, no, I'm not. And so in that moment, the enemy is trying to, you know, or what's happening is this dynamic of, if we refuse to take on the identity, or if we forget the identity of who we are. Now you look at Jesus, right? And you look at Jesus, and you remember the scene where you know, he's being baptized and the heavens open, and God begins to declare the identity of who Jesus is. You know, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Can you imagine if Jesus did the same as Moses? No, I'm not your son. I'm not, you know, I'm not the savior of the world. I'm not, you know, can you imagine if Jesus, you know, had that same identity problem? You know, it's like, oh no, I'm not worthy of being your son. I'm not worthy of fulfilling, you know, the mission that, you know, it's just like, man, what a disaster. But if we look at us, and God is trying to bestow our identity in him, that we are children of God, sons and daughters of God, that we are heirs to the throne, that we are more than conquerors, that he is able, if we begin to embrace our identity. But what the enemy tries to do is he tries to steal our identity, and therefore steal the blessing that God has for us. Right? For Moses, he had a blessing of being the leader to take them out of captivity. For Gideon, it's to fight that battle, and for Jesus, it's to save, you know, the world and things like that. This, we've got to apply that to us. And so my thoughts are that the reason why maybe we continue in our drug addiction is because we've forgotten our identity in Christ. The reason why we worry or we're fearful is that we've forgotten our identity in Christ. We've forgotten that God takes care of the birds of the field, and how much more will He take care of us. We have forgotten our identity in Christ, or we refuse to embrace our identity in Christ, or we just are doubtful of our identity. And so here we have Jacob stealing the identity of Esau, and now Esau, because he's lost that identity, has lost that blessing. And if we allow the enemy to sort of confuse us or try to rob us of our understanding of our identity, we also will lose the blessing that God has prepared for us. And so it continues here, and they do the switcheroo, and there's so many details, right? Isaac is kind of doubtful, and he's sort of like, hey, are you really, I mean, you sound like Jacob. I mean, it's amazing that Jacob still pulled this off, you know. But he pulls it off, and finally Isaac is convinced, and he bestows this blessing. And there's a lot of details, a lot of even great particular sort of words that we can, you know, talk about. But I just want to talk about something a little bit unique and a little bit different. Actually, I want to focus on the blessing itself. I mean, obviously, the takeaway from this story, you know, there's so many that you could say, you know, the identity issue, sort of the deceit, and now the future of Jacob and Esau and the line of Esau, and just his bitterness, and how he wants to kill him, and there's all that stuff. But I want to do something that probably, you know, we haven't really talked about in this particular chapter that's been preached all over the world and throughout history. It's this actual blessing. And I want to break down in the last 5 minutes that we have this the breakdown of the actual blessing that was supposed to be given to Esau, but with all sincerity and all conviction that Isaac gives to now Jacob. And so it starts in verse 22. Well, let's start with verse 27. So he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. Dr. Gary Smalley wrote this book called The Blessing, and he talks about how there's four elements of this blessing. And the first ingredient of this blessing is meaningful touch. And so we see in verse 27 that he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled him and the smell of his garments, that part of the blessing in Hebrew culture was that there was this meaningful touch, there was this embrace. If you remember Jesus, when the little children were among the disciples and the disciples tried to kick him out, Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Let them come unto me." And Jesus comes and puts them on his lap. And then the Bible says, and he blessed the children and he blessed them. There's this idea, Apostle Paul talks about laying on of hands. There's this idea of meaningful touch. And here's this blessing where Isaac says, I want you to come close. I want to touch your garments. And then he gives them a meaningful kiss. And so there's this meaningful touch. And so this is one ingredient. The second ingredient is the spoken message of love and affection, right? That he blesses him. And in verse 27, he says, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." Now, I don't know about you, but if your dad were to say that to you right now, I don't know if you guys would be blessed by that. Man, you smell like a field, you know. It's like, whoa, thanks, Dad. You know, I'm so blessed by that, you know. But here it's meaningful for well, Esau. It's supposed to be Esau because he's a hunter. It's this approval, words of approval, words of blessing. It's kind of like Let's say you were a chef at a very well-known or prestigious restaurant, and you come home and in your garments you smell like the food, and it's kind of like a reminder of like, man, I smell the labor of your work at this particular restaurant, and man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so you know, thankful for you, and so I want to bless you. And so that's sort of the imagery, a modern day sort of simile. Whereas Jacob is saying to Esau, man, you smell like the field. That's a compliment. It's like, wow, you smell like someone who's cultivating the land and doing hard work and things like that. And so there's this verbal blessing of acceptance and affirmation. The third thing in verse 28 is this assuring them of their value. Notice what he says in verse 28. He says, "Now may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine." In other words, may the Lord bless you. You are valuable. You are important. You are worthy of receiving blessing. And so may God bless you. And the final ingredient is this picturing of the future. In verse 29, "May the peoples serve you. And the nations bow down to you. Be the master of your brothers, and the master of your sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." And here's the Father giving this picture of the future, of what life may be like, and what you may inherit, and what you may receive. And as I look at this relationship between father and son, or parent and child, that these ingredients of Isaac's blessing, it is important for our own children and for one another as we bless one another, that there be meaningful touch. And so that's why when we pray for another, when we bless one another, we lay hands or we hold hands, or there's some sort of meaningful touch, because we believe that there's a spiritual transference that happens, a blessing from one person to another. But also that we give verbal words of affirmation, and that we give words that demonstrate their value, that you're valuable, and that we give words of what the future may look like, that you may be blessed and have a fruitful life. And so these are sort of the steps or the ingredients of this blessing that I believe is what God has ordained as we bless one another. And so just to help you as you know, like trying to figure out, how do I bless someone? How do I pray for someone in house church? What do I say? What do I do? You can just go ahead and use this as a blessing. And so as we invite a time of worship, this is what I want to do this morning to end sort of our devotional. Is that though I can't reach out and touch you, sometimes during the benediction, the pastor will lift up his hands as sort of a symbol of just beginning to extend. And that's when we ask you to extend out your hands, that's what we're doing, what we're symbolizing. And so let's bow our heads. And I just want to bless you before we go into a time of worship. And the Lord says unto you that you are my child, and that you have served well and faithfully, and that you are my chosen son or daughter, that you I am well pleased with, that I am pleased with you. For may you receive the abundance of your labor, the harvest of your labor. May you never give up and experience the truth of the fruit of faithfulness, and may you see incredible blessing and prosperity. May you receive just wisdom and honor. May people look up to you and receive your influence. And may they be changed and transformed because of you. May you now experience the incredible graciousness of our Heavenly Father. May you know that He is with you. May you know that you are overcomers. May you know that you are more than conquerors. And may you know that He loves you to the death of the cross, where He shed His blood so that you may experience new life. May you experience that now, that eternal life, not in the only in the afterlife, but today. So, Lord, we invite you here as we worship you. So this morning, may you experience that blessing from our Heavenly Father. As you draw closer to Him, may you experience His touch. May you experience those words of affirmation and value. And may you receive the blessing that He has for you this morning. So now let's pray for our community. Let's intercede for them. Let's do the same for them. Let's bless them. That it's not just an approval, but it's just a prayer of acceptance and the covenant that the Lord has for each and every one of us, that He is with us and that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so let's pray for those struggling with cancer and therapy and transplants. And let's bless them through our prayers. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for the salvation for those who are far from God, and for we were once far from Him, but we were brought back. And so, Lord, let's begin to pray for those who are sick and but also need to know the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who have illnesses and sicknesses and infirmities. Let's ask the Lord to bless them and heal them and to do miracles and to restore. And so let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to sustain them and give them grace, and ask the Lord to bless them. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's pray for our mission focus for today. And today let's lift up Hong Kong, and let's pray for the government, and let's pray for our local churches here. Let's pray for the ministries that's serving Hong Kong. And so let's pray for a blessing over them. Let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for the missions committee, and let's ask the Lord to bring wisdom and to open our eyes to see the areas that God wants us to go to and to serve and to be stewards of the resources that God has given us to Asia and to the world. And so let's pray for the missions committee. Let's lift up local outreach and pray for our community center, for Igape Ministries, Homie Outreach, SP Lights, Freedom, Mother's Choice, Bridge Ministries. Let's ask the Lord to really use our leaders and their servants and those who are a part of it to truly reach Hong Kong to the poorest of the poor. And so let's lift them up right now. And also let's pray for our Friday activities. We have our College Group SPU meeting. We have a River and IP team meeting. And McCain House Church and DB House Church meeting today. So let's ask for a blessing over our activities that are going on today. Lord, we thank you and we just ask that you remember your covenant that you have with your people, that we would remember the covenant that we have with you. And Lord, we just ask that we would go forth in your mercy, in your grace, in your blessing. And Father, we just want to draw near to you, God. Would you touch us and speak to us, God. Open our eyes, Father, to what you have in store. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.